Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul Hamilton joining us in a moment. Joe told me during the break he's got a stat of the day.
Stat of the day is presented by Seneca Gaming in Irving, home of the biggest bingo payouts and slot machines with thousands won daily. Don Granato has coached more games for the Buffalo Sabres than Pat LaFontaine played for the Buffalo Sabres.
All right. What's the number on those?
274 for Granato, 268 for LaFontaine.
274 for Granato.
Yep.
This year, a disappointing season. No Sabre player reaches 60 points. Last year, they were third in league in scoring. This year, they would have been third in league in scoring if they had the same numbers last year, 296. Only Colorado and Toronto scored more than that this year. That's how the Sabres scored last year. This year, not so much. A 50-goal drop-off. Paul Hamilton joining us on the Western Hotline. His appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Good morning, Paul.
Morning, guys. You got to remember, too, LaFontaine missed over half the games he was here for.
Yep. Yes.
That, he was around. He just didn't play because of injury.
Right. Only reason Granato would be above him is because, right, there are a couple of years in there where I don't even think he got the 20 games or something like that.
Yeah. Well, Paul, Granato has been able to say, like, let's stick to it right now. Let's talk about this game, and now there are no more games. So this week, we'll get answers on whether or not he's going to return. Kevin Adams, Don Granato will speak to the media. We're not going to talk to Don today in our normal Tuesday spot because they've got their meetings early today. Do you expect the Sabres head coach to return?
I don't know. It's hard. That's, I think, totally up to Terry Pegula, what he wants. You know, I think it's going to be his decision whether he returns or not, because I think that Kevin Adams would have him return. So if he's not going to return, I think that would fall on Terry Pegula's shoulders.
Yeah, where Pegula could just decide this isn't good enough for me. That's one thing, Paul. Like, the life cycle of the ownership of the Sabres, it started, everyone's really excited because sole reason for existence to win the Stanley Cup. They go out and they spend money. And, you know, they go through different versions of failures in a 13-year playoff drought. And I guess one thing that Sabres fans might appreciate, I don't think they're going to necessarily get it, would be Terry talking publicly about the team. And I'm trying to think of how many times he's issued statements or letters to season ticket holders like, this isn't good enough. It's happened a little bit. They had a statement this year, but from what you understand, what level of frustration do they have versus how they still might feel they're in a good position due to how much young talent they have?
Well, Kevin Adams said at the trade deadline that, you know, they've got to decide how much of it is it took longer than they thought to look, you know, for the younger players to develop, and how much of it is, you know, they've made some mistakes with the roster and they have to fix them. And my thought is I would pay much more attention to the second part of that than I would the first part of that. You know, they did a lot of growing last year, and last year is when there was pressure and everything. And I think last year I can buy that, but I just think pressure is used as an excuse now, and there's pressure this and there's pressure that, and when does it end? I mean, when do you finally say, you know what? You know, everybody has pressure, and you're going to have to deal with it. And this is the National Hockey League, and I mean, there's pressure all the time. I mean, I don't think these players got to the NHL without dealing with pressure along the way. And you know, I just think the pressure is used as an excuse way too much in this organization.
Yeah, I think the obvious question, like if I owned the team and I heard the coach saying, well, these guys are just having trouble dealing with pressure, my question would be, well, whose job is it to make sure they don't struggle with that? I mean, it's not unique to Buffalo to have pressure. Other organizations have plenty of pressure. It's not unique, and this is to get to a separate point, but for players to be booed on a bad performance. I mean, the last time the Sabres were in the playoffs, they were in Philadelphia, and the fans booed that team in the playoffs. So, you know, whose job is it to make sure that these players don't get all twisted up in that stuff?
Well, I think they've been given outs with this. That's the problem, I think. That, you know, instead of saying, yeah, I know you have a new contract and, you know, you have to deal with it. I mean, there are other young players in this league that deal with pressure and do it just fine. I mean, any of the Hughes brothers, those three guys, Makar, has Makar never had pressure? You know, is it, he's had contracts and he's a young player that has excelled. I mean, even Bedard this year, you know, has he not had pressure? You know, so I that's why I just think it's used too much in this organization and used as a, and players are kind of given an out by, well, you know, yeah, okay, you're right, you know. Yeah, I know it's pressure that you have a new contract and everything, and yes, and you should be able to play through that pressure too.
And those guys you just mentioned, Paul, like Makar, Bedard, like others, like these are elite players. Bedard, you know, just arrived, but even looks great already. Like that makes me wonder, like, are they as talented as we think they are? Like, do you think they are talented enough to reach what they want to reach, or is there, you know, is there a talent problem at the top of the lineup?
Well, I think that's something that they have to figure out, which was the fluke last year or this year. I mean, they do have players that have performed, and, you know, even a guy like Tage Thompson, he performed very well at the end of the year. He was basically back in his last 17, 18 games. He was basically back on the pace he scored goals last year at. I think he was at a 43-goal pace, and last year he scored 47. So, you know, he showed that, you know, when he's healthy, and he did have a broken hand problem, and we don't know how much that affected him after he was, you know, after he came back. But, you know, so that's what they have to figure out. With each one of these guys that regressed, which is it? I mean, is Alex Tuch a 36-goal scorer, or is he more closer to a 22-goal scorer? Dylan Cousins, well, you know, he finished the season with 3 goals in his last 2 games, finished with 18. Well, is he a 31-goal scorer, or is he more like an 18-goal scorer? What can you expect? So that's something that they have to sit down and have honest conversations with themselves and say, okay, which one was the fluke? Was the fluke last year? Was the fluke this year? And a lot of those players would have had more goals if they had a better power play. I mean, if you don't have one of the worst power plays in the National Hockey League, I mean, Tage Thompson had over 20 power play goals alone last year. So, you know, if you have that power play instead of the one you had, a lot of these players wouldn't have regressed as much as they did.
Paul Hamilton joining us on the Wester Hotline to chat about the Sabres. Season comes to an end. Paul, I want to ask you about they did make one big move this season. That's the Mittelstadt for Bowen Byram trade. And Byram burst onto the scene for them and scored a bunch. You know, as Joe's talking about a talent problem, the idea is that Byram has a high ceiling and he could be a piece for the future going forward, which of course he is. How do you end up feeling about Byram as the season ends? You got a month or two here. How do you feel about him right now?
Yeah, I mean, he's... It's quite a huge difference, and Eric Johnson showed us that too, between how the Avalanche play D and what's been ingrained in your brain to the way the Sabres play defense. And there aren't too many teams that play man-on-man defense anymore. Colorado is one of them. And when that's your, you know, when you're playing, you have habits that are just come natural to you. And one-on-one, man-on-man defense is what comes natural to Bo Byram. And you can see there's plenty of talent there, and you can see that, you know, the why he was drafted where he was drafted. I think we all knew he wasn't going to get the points he was getting when he first got here. That wasn't going to be what he's going to normally be getting. And he settled in, and there were times he struggled, but I think part of the times he struggled is when you're thinking out there instead of reacting. that's when you get yourself into a little bit of a problem. Now, he may have a new coach next year. Who knows? You know, he's going to have a different way of playing. Or he's going to have Granato, and he'll have these games under his belt, and he'll be better for it. But I still think it's going to be a good trade. I think, you know, he's a very talented defenseman, and I remember watching him during their Stanley Cup run when they won the Stanley Cup. He was excellent during that.
Paul, what do you think happened to Dylan Cousins this year? And past that, the theory I see a lot on social media, which is only social media, so, right, take everything with a grain of salt, is people are always asking, like, did that fight with Hathaway and the Flyers early in the season, I don't know, spook him or just whatever? Did he not look right past that? What, do you think that has anything to do with the season he had?
I don't think it spooked him, but it wouldn't surprise me if he never was right. When you've had major concussions, and I am talking from experience here, I know what that fog is like. You're in kind of like a fog. You don't think straight. Everything you do is a little bit slower. You're just not quite right. And I just wonder if maybe he had problems with that and didn't say anything. And it affected him, because it is something that's real. And it is, as I said, it's just, you're not quite on top of anything, really. It's just your whole brain is just in a bit of a fog. It's not huge, but it's there. And I wonder if maybe he was suffering from that. And he's not the type of guy that's going to get spooked or anything like that. I think if there was a problem with that, it would have been, you know, concussion related or something like that, or brain related. It just, you know, he just was never the same after that. Well, but the thing is, too, it wasn't like he was playing lights out before that. You know, it just,
yeah.
It just wasn't his season, and he didn't really want to hear about it last night that he finished the year with 3 goals in 2 games and had 3 points.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Last night, he couldn't have cared less. So he said, the only thing I'm taking with me is we didn't make the playoffs.
Can I give a theory on Cousins? Which kind of like melds together a couple different theories. When we had Don on last week, he talked about, he had a kind of an interesting quote, Paul, the way he said it, like, you can't always be trying to score the first goal, which of course they are trying to score the first goal, but he was making a point about not trying to do too much. Sometimes make the simple play and not take guys on, you know, 1-on-3 all by yourself. And I asked him if Cousins is a guy that might be guilty of that, and he wouldn't really take that. He'd want to call out Cousins individually. But that said, Cousins is a guy that lost a wingman before the season. And that line, that Cousins-Paterka-Quinn line, never really got together because of Quinn's injury. So Cousins maybe felt a little bit more pressure to do things himself, because to me, he became a guy that too often was trying to be a one-man show. And that his game kind of just went away when the line he was with last year so consistently wasn't available.
Well, I've heard him talk about this many times since he's been the coach. He's not talking about scoring the first goal of the game. He's talking about, you've got 20, 21 shifts in a game. You're not going to score in all 20 shifts.
Yep.
He said, sometimes you just got to live to fight another day and understand that, all right, it's better off right now if we just dump the puck in and get a change. Make the simple play, get a change. Don't try to do too much, because, you know, you'll get another chance to come on. And all of a sudden that scoring chance you were trying to force will come to you. And he goes, that's hard for some young players to understand. They're trying to score every time they're out there instead of, and he uses Pat Kane as an example, where he was an assistant coach with him, that he'll understand that, where he doesn't try to skate through 3 guys at the blue line. He sees it. It's like, no, It's not here on this shift. I got plenty of more shifts to score on. I'm going to get it in. I'm going to go to the bench and live to fight another day. And that's really what he's talking about with trying to force things and just, oh, I'm bound and determined to score right now and not realizing there's a full game here and you're not going to score on all 20 shifts that you have.
How about Cousins for someone guilty of that?
Oh, he definitely is. There's no question. Thompson can be guilty of that too, especially earlier in his career. But there's no question that that sometimes Cousins tries to do too much and – you know, it's just, you know, he's just got to, I don't know if I want to say calm down a little bit or just not get all tied up in knots and whatever, because he does that. And as I started to say earlier, he said, every time I go to the gym and every time I'm going to be in the ice, all I'm going to think about is not making the playoffs. He goes, it's going to dominate my thinking from every day that I, because... You know, he's the one that really has been talking about how, you know, it's going to be a big off season for him and these guys, and this is totally unacceptable, and they need to change it, and they need to change it when they get back here.
Well, tell them not to put too much pressure on themselves because the pressure apparently, you know, that's a thing. But I do appreciate that sentiment. Paul, the end-of-season presser, the questions for Kevin Adams, for Don Granato, you know, if we assume they're both back, who has more pressure to start next season, the coach or the GM? Because, you know, the GM has been here longer in charge, and the coach can't make roster moves. That's on the GM. I wonder who falls more squarely in the target for Sabres fans in terms of who they focus their attention on.
No, absolutely. It's Kevin Adams. I mean, he has a big job to do right now. To me, he's got two lines to revamp. You know, his bottom six forwards just aren't good enough at all. The team is not structured where I think that it needs to be, and they need to get some guys who are hard to play against. Now, the thing that he's got this off season that he didn't have last off season is any trade he's trying to make. If you know, people have a no move, they're not coming probably. And he's already experienced that, it seems like. Whereas last year, people were interested in coming here. He had agents calling him, you know, well, I have this client here. Would you be interested in him? You know, we hear, you know, great things about what you guys are doing and all that kind of thing. Well, in one season, that's all been washed away. And Kevin Adams is the one that's talked about that. He understands that, and he goes, it's our job now to change that. But it's going to make getting the types of players in here that they need to get in here and the moves that they need to make even more difficult, because you're going to have to find guys that need to fit what you need that don't have any no-movement clauses, because if they do, they probably aren't coming.
Paul, before I let you go, you know, of course, many people around here remember Rick Jenneret, the RJ Knight, his retirement, his legacy, and of course his passing. And another legend has stepped away, and I know someone you would probably love, right, and listen to an awful lot, and John Sterling called his last Yankee game a very abrupt, immediate retirement for John Sterling, who, you know, is what, a Yankee legend? So I wondered if you wanted to say anything about John Sterling and Yankee life after him.
Yeah, it's really strange that he's doing it, you know, on April 15th, just as the season's starting, you know, he's doing that. And I just hope that there's nothing medically wrong with him that is forcing him to do this, to have to retire. I hope it's just something that he wanted to do, and it's nothing that he, I just hope he's okay, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But it was pretty abrupt, and, you know, he of course, is a Yankees legend. I believe he's, what, 85 years old, if I'm not mistaken, and has been doing this for so, so long.
Since 1960, he's been on the air.
Yeah, yeah. So that's long before my time following the Yankees and everything. So, you know, he's just such a legend that they have, and it's unfortunate, but I wish him the best.
Yeah. Paul, thanks for all the work all year long. We'll, of course, talk to you. You know, there's a locker clean out and some stuff still to come. But last post-gamer, and great work as always, sir.
Yeah, it's always a sad day when the last game of the year has been played. But You know, this. I'm getting used to those sad days being in the middle of April.
Well, the good news is next year, Paul, we're going Cup Crazy 2025, so get ready. All right?
Okay.
Thanks, Paul.
Take care.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. His appearance brought to you by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we got this. And that was our Eye on the Blue and Gold, brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business, is protecting your business. I met John Sterling in the broadcast booth at Yankee Stadium.
Okay. In his office, basically.
In his office during a game, like between innings.
Yeah.
We walked. I went with Brad Ryder in, what year is this? 2003?
Okay.
Whatever year Smarty Jones was aiming to win the Triple Crown.
Smarty Jones.
Look up Smarty Jones.
Smarty Jones.
Brad and I went, for the station, Brad and I went to New York to go to the Belmont Stakes. Is it 2003?
Do you know how little I know about the history of like the Kentucky Derby? You said
this is the Belmont Stakes.
We were talking baseball, and you said Smarty Jones, and I thought this was a baseball player going for the baseball Triple Crown.
Ah,
and then I looked it up, and it's just pictures of horses. Okay, Smarty
let me tell you,
Jones.
That horse could hit.
Yeah,
that guy, he went opposite field all the time. Yeah. This dude could hit for average, hit for power. He had everything.
There's two Triple Crowns. So, all right, he's 2004.
Okay, so 2004, we go to New York. We go there for the Belmont. We go to a Yankee game. And in the process, you know, our program director, Andy Roth, had connections in New York. And we got a chance to go and say hi to John Sterling.
Wow.
Right. So in between signing off for like the bottom of the third, on the way to the top of the fourth, he walks to the back of the broadcast booth and says hi to us. And he knew Sandy Beach. We're like, oh, we're from Buffalo. Oh, Buffalo, Sandy Beach.
All right.
Anyway. So I met John Sterling.
Is he in... Do you know Seinfeld well enough to know what's the keychain that yells, holy cow, that George accidentally drops in the concrete?
Isn't that Phil Rizzuto?
Okay, you're right. Phil Rizzuto. Not John Sterling. Okay.
That could also be wrong. Someone's going to scream at me what that is. I'm pretty sure that's Phil Rizzuto.
It is Phil Rizzuto.
Okay.
It's Phil Rizzuto. Yep. With his popular catchphrase, holy cow.
Yeah. 803-0550, our phone number. A gorgeous day out there. Someday, again, someday we will have a day like this where we go to the arena in shorts to see the Sabres play in the playoffs. Someday.
I don't want to be in the arena. I just want to hang out in the plaza with shorts on and watch.
We are getting to the point where you will meet people that do not remember that time. Like we do with you. You're like, who's Smarty Jones? At some point, you're going to say something about Party in the Plaza to an adult, and they're going to say, what's that?
They're going to be, what are you talking about? And then you're going to show them videos of, like, the Drury goal.
Yeah.
And the video. Because that clip, the best part, one of the best parts of that clip, Drury tying it in Game 5 against the Rangers, is when the camera cuts to the Party in the Plaza, and it's just people climbing over each other.
It's bedlam. Yeah.
It's crazy.
803-0550. If you're on hold, we'll get to your phone calls. We've got some football coming up today. We're going to check in with a Georgia reporter, analyst, to talk about Ladd McConkey, among others. I mean, there's several Georgia players in this draft that could be targets for the Bills.
Adonai Mitchell spent 2 years there, too, so that's
some
on that.
He did. Matt Harmon has his reception perception on Adonai Mitchell. There's a big gap between A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy, according to Matt Harmon. Keep it in mind. So we'll get some phone calls in, 803-0550. I want to take aim at the Islanders critics, not the Islanders, when we get back. Because the 3-2-1 point system might actually be gaining steam, Joe. We might be getting there. Very exciting. More and more people are talking about it. They're still talking about it in the wrong way. We'll get to that. Some phone calls, 803-0550. Beautiful Tuesday on WGR.